Tfila Shemeni Resh. The Aruch HaShulchan writes here in Sukkot and Aleph that the practice is that a woman says the Aruch HaTfila even if the Tfila is only for a Ketzer. Even though, strictly speaking, the requirement to be Tovel for a Riyas Ketzer is only the Rabbanan, nevertheless, you still say a bracha on tefila because that's all subsumed under the heichan tivanu milo sasser that we say brachas on the rabbanas also. So even where the necessity for a tara process is only the rabbanan, that's still mechayiv a bracha. There is a minority opinion in Achronim quoted by the Darkei Tshuva in Sifkat and Aleph here. He quotes a sefer Malbushe Tara that a woman should not say a bracha if the reason she's tavelis is only mishum kasem. He recommends that you should be yotzeh with someone else's bracha. You should time your tefillah to coincide with someone else's tefillah, and you should say amen to be yotzeh with someone else's bracha. Yeah.
Isn't that a breach on like the tznius front thing?
So I don't know if the tznius front is a problem for two people who are in the mikveh anyway.
Oh, I thought I meant to be like time it like. Okay.
But Lamaisa, we assume, like the majority of Achronim, that even if it's Mishum Kesem, you still say a bracha on Tevila. I forget where it is, so someone has a suggestion that they don't like either, that, or at least raises the question, maybe if you have a suffix, that's the way to say bracha, so you should be Tovel Akli. But that's a different Nusach bracha. That's all Tevila's Kalim, as opposed to all Tevila. So even though in theory you could maybe have a generic bracha of Alat Tfila that would cover Tfila's Kalim as well, but that's not a prescribed recommendation to have Tfila's Kalim to be a suffix, to resolve the problem with the suffix brachas. But again, the majority position and what we follow is that even if the Tfila is Misham Kesem, you still say Berachat HaTfila. Then the Aruch HaShulchan writes the same thing is true for Dam Tovar. So even though our practice to require Tevila and to render a woman a Sula Baila for Dam Tovar is only Mishum Minog, the Maker of Din Torah, if a woman sees Dam after 7 to 14 days after Zachar Nekeva, so then the next period of time is Dam Tovar and Bol and Al Dam Tovar. But our minhag is that we treat Dam Tovar as Tameh as well. So even though that's only Nishum minhag, the Aruch HaShulchan here says that you still say a bracha. The Pitkei Tshuva talks about this in Siman Kuf Tzadi Dalet. The Pitkei Tshuva in Siman Kuf Tzadi Dalet of Katan Beis quotes from the Tshuva Tzatzim Sofer as much that you say a bracha even on Dam Tovar. The Pitzkei Tshuva there raises this question about bracha for Kesem as well. But again, our practice is, generally speaking, to say brachos. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, even if you have a suffix Kesem, because ein tefila below bracha. That all these situations you say bracha, with the exception of a situation where a woman went to the mikvah, and then there's some mishum chumra v'chatzitza, we tell her to go down again a second time. So that situation you don't say bracha, but any other suffix situation, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you do say bracha. Now that notion that you say bracha on minhag, that's a machlokes rishonim. The Aruch HaShulchan says here, just like you say bracha on hal and rosh chodesh. That's true according to Tosos, and that's true according to our practice. But the Rambam holds that you don't say bracha on a minhag, you don't say bracha on a hal and rosh chodesh. So presumably, or at least there may be more grounds for Spartan to be machmir on some of these issues. Rav Avadia has in Taras Habayis a few situations in which he thinks maybe you should be machmir not to say a bracha, mishum chashash bracha sheinah tzricha, which according to the Rambam is a problem in HaTorah. So if you take a look at Rav Avadia there, this is Chelek Beis, page Taf Mem Dalet. Okay, so but generally speaking, most of these situations where Lamaisa were Tovel, either Mishum Drabanan or Mishum Minog, you say Bracha. Okay. The Gemara says in Sachman Dav Zayin Amud Beis that all brachas in general need to be recited over Las Yasin. They have to be recited prior to the performance of a mitzvah, with the exception of Birkas HaTevila. What's unique about Tevila? The Gemara says, Akasi Gavra Lo Chazi, that the individual who is the subject of the Tevila is Lo Chazi, is not Roy to say a bracha prior to the Tevila. What does that mean? So Rashi writes over here that we're talking about a Balkari. That a Balkari post Hakanas Ezra is Aser B'Talmud Torah, is Aser B'Tevila. So Balkari, during the time that we observe Takanas Ezra, can't say brachos. So he can't say bracha before he goes to the mikveh. He has to wait until after the tefillah. And Tosfos quotes here from the Rebbeinu Chananel, who happens to be on the side of the page also, so you don't have to go far to see the original source. Tosfos Dibur Masko Ala Tefillah quotes from the Rebbeinu Chananel, we're talking about a ger. That a ger is considered lo chazi kodem tefillah. You can't say Vitzivanu because he's not yet Jewish. So then, Al Karkach, the bracha has to be after Tevila. This sounds like a slight siyua to Rosh Hashanah's position, which is that a candidate for Geirus, someone studying toward Geirus, can't say Birchas HaMitzvah. It's usually assumed that someone's training to become Jewish, so they have to practice what it means to be a Jew. They have to, generally speaking, keep mitzvahs, maybe with the exception of Shabbos. They have to, can't keep Shabbos fully, perhaps. But aside from that, we train them to keep mitzvahs. Rosh Hashanah thinks that you can't tell them to say Birchas HaMitzvah because that's sheker. Can't say Vitzivan, it's not true. This Tosa sounds like a little bit of a siwa. You could distinguish that maybe Tosa is only talking about Birkas HaTevila, where if you have an option of saying it afterwards when you're mitzvah, so then it's meaningless to say before, as opposed to if it's only practicing some other mitzvah. But anyway, Tosa goes in Beinu Chananel that we're talking about Tevilas Ger. Tevilas Ger is Eino Ra'oi at the time that he's going into the mix, because he has to say the bracha afterwards. But strictly speaking, according to that position of Beinu Chananel, the Gemara's exception here is only for a ger. And maybe someone going to the mikvah for other reasons, for regular tara, you could say the bracha before. Tells of course in the Ri, a ligor benoshim shemavarcha sachar tvila, kevin deika tvila sker de lamati levarech lo chilku. That you shouldn't criticize women who say a bracha achar tvila, because since we already have an institution of bracha liachat tefillah by gerim, so then we allow for some kind of a low plug. So the reason sounds like, in principle, the woman perhaps should say the bracha before, but if you have a woman who says it afterwards, you don't have to criticize her because there's precedent for doing so. And then the end of Tosfos has the Yesh Mefarshim, then no, lichachila. We say that every individual is considered lo chazi for tefillah, because maybe they won't end up going through with the tefillah. Maybe they'll be scared of the water. They're not going to go through with the tefillah. Or maybe there's a problem of liba rosa erva. And therefore, across the board, we always institute the birchas hatefillah achar hatefillah. Right, so there are potentially three positions here just among the Bali Tosos. Either that the Gemara's exception of Akasi Gavra Lachar is limited Zuntai to Tevilas Ger, but any other Tevila, the bracha would be recited beforehand. And that is the position of the Rif, and that's the position of the Rambam, Brachos Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Zayin, that any regular Tevila, aside from Tevilas Ger, perhaps Tevilas Balkari, the Zman Takanas Ezra, you recite the bracha prior to Tevila. Position number two is that either the Ikar Adin, you could recite the bracha prior to Tevila but there's an allowance to recite it afterwards so not to confuse people, or that potentially is a broader low plug. And possibility number three is that l'chachila, we tell you to recite the bracha afterwards, either mishum b'yisusa or mishum liba roa esa erba. So this is l'maisa machlokas mechaber rama, and machlokas between standard Sephardic and standard Ashkenazic practice. The mechaber paskins here, based on the Rambam and the Rif. Kisha poshetef malbushaha, kisha omedef v'chaluka tevarech asher kedishayim v'nisasav v'tzivanu ala tefila, v'tifshav chaluka, v'tipol. That a woman should remove most of her clothing except for some kind of robe, undergarment, shirt, and then she should recite the bracha, and then she should be tovelas. And the Rama said, v'yesh omen shelo tevarech ad achar tefila. That a woman should only say the bracha after tefila. That a woman recites the bracha l'chachila after tefillah, and the Rama says that she covers herself somewhat. So we'll come back to the issue of erva in a little while. But as far as the minhag of the Rama to recite the bracha after tefillah, if you look in the Ber Hetev here, and the last line, in parentheses, he quotes a mashallah. Shalah kasav anshe maisa yathiru l'neshaseyin sheyalu sheyitbalu v'tavarach achikach tifol shenis. So the shalah recommended that women should dunk twice. Women should dunk once, and then say the bracha, and then dunk a second time. What is this based on? So there is a Madur Basra of the Dagal Mirvava, which in this Shulchan Aruch is printed later on, and was called the Kalvus Mefarsha. I'm not sure it's printed in some of the other editions. The Dagal Mirvava tries to analyze this practice of the Shalah. He says he doesn't understand what the second tevila accomplishes. But if you assume that the first tevila is good, so then what are you gaining by the second tevila? The first tevila is good, and you're going to say a bracha afterwards, so you want to gain the position that the bracha precedes the tevila, but the first tevila is already a good tevila. So you haven't been marviach anything as far as the bracha is concerned. So maybe you'll tell me that you should have reverse kavana. So you should have kavana that if the first tevila is good, you should have kavana that if the bracha needs to precede the tevila, so then the first tevila won't count. And if the bracha comes after the tevila, then the first tevila should count. So even if that's the intent, says the Dagal Mirvava, that doesn't necessarily work either. Because that's what the Mechaber paskens in the end of Siman Kuf Tzadi Ches, that kavana is in ma'ake for tevila. So you have kavana that if you need to say the bracha before tefillah, then the first tefillah doesn't count. So maybe that negative kavanah doesn't work. And then the Dagal Mirvava says, well, then maybe we're assuming like the Rama. The Rama there in the end of Kuf Tzadi Ches is Chalakam B'chaber and Kodesh Yesh Mefarshim, that if you don't have kavanah, the tefillah is no good. So maybe we're going with that Ramah that you need to have kavana for tevila. So then this chesed should work. If you need to say the bracha before tevila, then the first tevila does not count. And if you don't, then the first tevila does count. Then the Dagal Mirvava says you run into another problem. You look back in Siman Kuf Tzadi Ches to If Kaf Tes. So Mechaber Paskin there. Actually, let's look at it from the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tevila Perek Aleph Halacha Tes paskins that a person goes to the mikvah twice, hareis in meguna. Go to the mikvah twice, that's not a good idea. What's that based on? So the Ketzer Mishnah quotes here from the Shuvas HaRivash Simen Reish Sadi Dalid, Shuvas HaRivash Simen Reish Sadi Dalid, that it may be based on some kind of misperception. That if people see you going a second time, maybe they'll get confused about what the real tefillah is and whether you require kavanah for tefillah, and there may be some misconception. So even if this notion will work, that you could have kavanah shelolotzeis if the first tefillah is the wrong tefillah, but then you run into the problem of having a double tefillah harezem meguna. That's the Dogam Ravava's analysis of this practice, and yet he concludes that since the Shalah HaKadosh said such a thing, we should do it anyway. And there isn't much of a downside. What about the Rambam that you shouldn't be tovel twice? So he points out most Rishonim learn that Allah is talking about a different concern. That's how it appears in Shulchan Aruch. Simukuf Tzadichas Tzif Kavtes. That's only if you're being tovel in a mikvah that's mitzumsam. So if you're tovel in a mikvah that has arbam sum, mitzumsamos, and then you're going to go down and come up again and go down, so maybe the second time it's not going to be a kosher mikvah anymore. So even though the Dogma Rebbe is not so excited about this two tefillahs, he says since the Shalah said it, it's appropriate to follow that practice. In the Sefer Chikrei Lev, quoted in the Darkei Shuvah Sifkat and Hay, raises a different issue. The Chikrei Lev says, so you're going to have this kind of kavana that if the bracha has to precede the tefillah, so the first tefillah doesn't count. And if the bracha could come after, then the first tefillah does count. So you may have some women who are very sophisticated who could have such a cheshbon in mind when they go to the mikvah. But most people are not that sophisticated, and you're going to be confusing people if you tell them you have to have this kind of double kavana. Then he writes that, well, maybe there's a notion of lay bays and matna layim. That maybe once we institute such a practice, so then an individual woman doesn't have to have the kavana herself. It's sufficient that she does what the recommended practice is. And then there's this amorphous notion of lay bays and matna layim that the intended kavana is had, even if the individual woman doesn't have that kavana per se. The Rav Avadia doesn't like this. He quotes others that prove Beis Matna Leim is a much more limited idea that doesn't necessarily apply in this kind of a situation. Then Rav Avadia has another potential justification. This is on page Reish Zayin of Chelek Gimel, that even if in general we assume that you don't need kavana for tefillah, maybe negative kavana is worse. Maybe if you have dafka kavana, one thing to be tavel for that kavana. But if you have negative kavana, maybe that's worse. And he quotes a Marshal and Kulin, Perek Beis, Simon Yud Gimel, that when it comes to Shkita Kulin, even though you don't need kavana for Shkita, but if you have negative kavana, you have kavana, let's say, l'shem nechira, and that's not going to work. So maybe you have such a notion here as well. If you have negative kavana for a heksher mitzvah, for a maisa mitzvah, might be different. If you have negative kavana, not to be yotzei, a mitzvah lula, maybe still be yotzei. The negative kavana for heksher mitzvah may be different. So these are all possible cheshbonos to understand the this minhag of the shalah. However, if you look in the Tshuva Chavis Yair, the Chavis Yair Simen Kuf Pei Aleph, he seems to raise other considerations as to what the Shalav Minag may be based on. In addition to the cheshbon of trying to be yotzei boshitos about whether to say the bracha over lasiyasin or not, he has an initial consideration, at least there's language there that indicates maybe we're concerned that there'll be a problem with the first tefillah. So if you do a second tefillah, you're going to cover your bases just in case there's a problem with the first tefillah. And then he says there's a notion of Tosafot Tara, that maybe the additional tefillah is l'shem Tosafot Tara. Then you have in the Sefer Chassidim, common practice is that women actually dunk three times. What's that based on? So that's based on a Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim Simen Shin Sari Dalid says that a woman should dunk three times based on Gimel Lashonos Shaltara. You know, the pasuk is Rakti Alechai Mayim Taharim Taratem and then Ataharasem. So based on the three Lashonos of Tara, the Sefer Chassidim recommends that a woman should dunk three times. And then he writes, and for the same reason, when you go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, you should dunk three times. Same notion of Tara. How many people dunk three times Erev Yom Kippur? How many dunk once? But for Tfilas Nashim, I think the more standard practice is to dunk three times. Now, the Chavis Yar raises the question whether that's... He's talking about two times. So he raises the question whether it's mutter to dunk two times on Shabbos. I mean, if it's stam an additional Tfilah... to the Yotzei, some other calculation, is that permissible on Shabbos? So the minhag olam is to, I think, be tovel the same way in Shabbos as during the week.
Who asked that question?
I'm sorry?
Who discusses that?
The Chadash Yoyer, in the Simon Kripne Malif. And the Nativ raises a question as well, but he assumes as a Davar Pasha that it's mutter. And it says it's in Meisha Davar Chelik Bey Simen Lamed Zayin. Meisha Davar Chelik Bey Simen Lamed Zayin. And it says it raises the issue, but he says Pasha that Shabbos and Yontiv you can be Tovel twice. He's talking about the Minig to be Tovel twice. Whatever the Minig is during the week, you can do the same thing on Shabbos. And he, by the way, has another calculation as to why we're not concerned about the double tefillah as far as the Rambam's consideration of Reza Maguna. He said the Rambam is only talking about a case, the Rambam is based on a Tosefta. So the Rambam and Tosefta, they're talking about a case where you go to the mikvah and then you come out and then you go back in again. So that's a Reza Maguna. But if you're still in the mikvah, you just, your head bops up and then goes down again, that's not a violation of the Tosefta of being tovel twice a Reza Maguna. The Piskei Tshuva here in Sifchat and Aleph makes reference to an issue as to whether you can say Birchas HaTevilah on Shabbos. And he just quotes here Sifchat and Aleph. I am the Tshuva's Har Carmel. Shakasa da'afa melkim she'ei no'gen kein ella mivarchas kodem HaTevilah ha'ina da'afka b'chol. That those who follow the Pesach and the Mechaber that you say Birchas before Tevilah, that's only true during the week. Aval b'Shabbos kishetoveles yesh l'isha lino kein levarach achar tefila. But if you go to the mikvah on Shabbos, so then even if you follow the mechaber in general, you should say the berachos haTevila after tefila. Oh, kodem tefila belakash dein tvasa. Or you should recite it silently before tefila. So the Piskei Tshuva here doesn't tell you the whole story, doesn't tell you what this is based on. If you take a look in the, we don't have the Har Carmel here, but if you take a look in the Be'er Lacha, in Hilchos Shabbos, Simin Shin Kaf Gimel, Sif Zayin, the Be'er Lacha, Shin Kaf Gimel, Sif Zayin, Dibre Maskel, Yemal Enu Mayim, so there the Shulchan Aruch is talking about under what circumstances, if ever, can you perform Tevilas Kelem on Shabbos. That's the Gemara in Beis HaYudches that we referenced previously. So the Mishnah Berurah here explains in the Be'er Lacha that when it comes to Tefilas Kelim, if to the extent that there are circumstances in which it's mutter to be Tovel Kelim on Shabbos, you shouldn't say Bracha, because if you say Bracha, that indicates that you're clearly doing it L'Shem Tefilas Kelim, which would be a problem of Tikkun Kli. So the Mishnah Berurah here asks a question, which is that issue of the Tshuvas Har Carmel. Why aren't we so bothered when it comes to Tefilas Nashim on Shabbos? So the justification, as we explained previously, based on the Gemara in Beitza, is that it's not a problem for a woman to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, even though we have the general Zeres Merchasos, because of Nira Kamekar, that it's arguable that as far as the casual observer would see, that maybe she's just going in for a dip, and not for religious purposes. But if you're going to recite the bracha, so then maybe that should raise questions that clearly you are doing it l'shem mitzvah tefila, and there's no justification of nira kemaker. So that's the basis of this Har Carmel and the Pisgah Teshuvah quotes, that a woman, if you say the bracha after tefila, so that's not a problem, because you already went to the mikvah near kemaker, now you're saying the bracha after the fact. But if you're going to say the bracha beforehand, so maybe that would compromise the justification of Nira Kamekar, and that's what this Har Carmel says, that a woman should either recite it silently so that no one could hear, or recite it afterwards if the tefillah is on Friday night. The Mishnah Berurah says it's not really such a concern, because Nira Kamekar is going on the act itself. That if the act itself is not discernible as an act with shame, this is tefila, so even if you say a bracha, that doesn't compromise the nira kemekar consideration. That's the Mishnah Berurah's bottom line, and that's why I think the more common practice is that among Sfaradim, or those who would say the bracha prior to tefila, they do it on Friday night as well, in the same way. Okay. So within the Pesach of the Mechaber, a woman recites the bracha prior to going to the mikvah. The Mechaber says essentially that you're marviach another consideration, which is that you're able to recite the bracha while still dressed. What is the issue with reciting a bracha in the mikvah itself? Even the Ramah, who says that you do recite the bracha in the mikvah, says that a woman should be mechata asma v'begadeha v'chaluka, that she should still cover herself up when she recites the bracha. So there are potentially two issues here that the Shach and the Taz here address barichos, which is, number one, is there consideration when it comes to women of liba ravata erba? That's definitely the case when it comes to a man, that there's a problem to recite a bracha if there's no separation between the area of the lave and the area of the makam ha'erba. But that's not necessarily true when it comes to women. That's a malchus rishonim, because the woman's makam ha'erba is not situated opposite the lave. So in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, Simen Ayin Dalet, so Mechaber writes first in Sif Gimel, based on a Tshuva Hadesha, and Im Ha'adam Mechabek Gufa Bizrosav, Daniel like a hafsaka. So as far as liba rosa erva, if a person crosses his arms, so that passes enough of a hefsek between the lave and between the makam and erva. And then he writes in Sif Dalid, Yesh Misha Omer, quoting in Orcha Chaim, Shanashim Yukolos Lavarek Ulaspalo Kishem Lazusha Sakhalok, Afapisha Eina Masikos Lamata Melev. So this requirement of Shaloi He Liba Rosa Erva doesn't apply to women. And therefore, even if there's no hefet between the lave and the makam erva, that doesn't pose a problem. I'm sorry? This is the Mechaber Simon Ayin Dalit Sif Dalit, based on an Orcha Chaim. So that's what the Taz and the Shach assume here in their Arichas, that in the Ikar Adin, a woman doesn't even need to cross her arms. Because Nikar Adin, we assume like this Orcha Chaim, that there's no problem of Liba Rosa Erva for women. The Taz seems to say that L'chachil is better to do it anyway. You have nothing to lose. But Nikar Adin, they assume that it's not necessary. And then there's a second consideration, which is that you can't say a bracha if you're not dressed. So as far as that consideration is concerned, the Taz and the Shach assume that if a woman is mostly submerged underwater, even if the water is not particularly cloudy, that's enough of a kisoy to allow reciting the bracha. So even though the Ramah records the minog that a woman should cover herself with some chaluk when she recites the bracha in the minog, I think in the mikvah, I think the more common practice is not to be makdish for that. We assume, like the Taz and the Shach, that if a woman is submerged under the water, that is sufficient. And maybe it's appropriate to be machmir to cross arms, but that would be sufficient to solve the bracha problem. Okay. Just to conclude with the final Ramah in Simon Reish Aleph. Simon Reish Aleph is Hilchos Mitzvos. So Hilchos Mitzvos is not in the curriculum this year. But the Ramah ends off in the very last line in Se'if Ayin Hey. Ula'akar atzvila b'mei mikvah k'sherim. After a woman goes to a mikvah, mutaris likanis l'merchat k'dei she'techami matzim. A woman can go into a merchat to sweat, to heat up. Avalafter v'lirchot akar kak yesh osrim v'chei nagu. But yesh osrim that she should not take a bath or a shower afterwards. What is this based on? So this is a Mordechai in Shvuas Simin Tav Shin Nun, where the Mordechai says that, quoting Raviyah, that there are those who protested against women who would take a bath after going to the mikvah. That's based on the Yuches Davar in Shabbos and Daf Yudalit. The Gemara has there in Shabbos and Daf Yudalit that among the Yuches Davar, there was a Zera and the Gemara says, "B'tchila hayu tovin b'mei ma'aros milchunas and esruchin." That people would go to a mikvah in a mei ma'ara that had ichi water, vayunos and alei mayim shuvin, and then they would wash themselves off afterwards with mayim shuvin. B'tchila v'asam keva. So then that became a standard practice that they would wash themselves off with mayim shuvin. And there was a concern that people would think that the mayim shuvin were mitahir and not the mikvah. So gazer alei and tumah. So there it goes in Tumma on these Mayim Shuvin. So most Rishonim learn, like Rashi does here, that there it goes here that the Mayim Shuvin are Mitame. But the Mordechai, according to the Raviyah, understood that the Zera was that where you use Mayim Shuvin after going to the mikvah, the tefillah didn't work. So based on that consideration, that the tefillah didn't work, that's what the Mordechai quotes, that women shouldn't go take a shower or a bath after going to the mikvah, And that make because that may cast aspersions on the original tevila. If you look in the Be'er Agra here, in Simen Sivkata and Kuf Kavzayin, he assumes that that whole consideration of Gemara and Shabbos, that's only the Inyan Truma. The Gon. But the tevila still counts. And no one ever suggested that the tefillah wouldn't be a good tefillah. That may be the position of Rav Yishalim, but nevertheless, the minhag that the Ramah quotes here is to be machmir, not to take a bath or a shower after going to the mikvah. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, which I put on the Mar Makom, of Chelek Beis Simen Tzadi Vav, in which he tries to figure out what's the shear for this. It doesn't say explicitly, you can't take a shower when. Obviously, it doesn't mean you can't take a shower the rest of your life. So where do you draw the line? He said some suggested that it's until you have tashmish, but he says there's no real right to say that. The lashon haramaz mashma that it's dafka biyad achar tefila, meaning you go to the mikveh and you go straight into the shower, and maybe if you go home afterwards, that's okay. Moshe thinks that the more correct practice is that a woman should not take a bath or a shower the rest of that night till the next day. If she's an Istinist, so then there's what to be make about, because most of the Shonim don't assume like this, and it's only a minute, quote unquote, anyway. But Moshe thinks that it's preferable to be in the Kayim, the Minog, not to take a shower or bath that night. Rav Schechter has a little piece in Ginas Egos, the end of Simon Kavalis, in which he subscribes to Rav Moshe's bottom line lahalacha. Rabbi Willig is a little more note to lahakiel in situations where you've at least gone home and demonstrated that that she's no longer a suvla bailo, so there may be grounds to be made go if necessary. But I think that the more common practice is like what Moshe says, to avoid taking a shower until the next day.